really like the first and last lines of the gospel reading this morning. Luke writes, "Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil." And the last line is, "When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time." In Matthew's version of these temptations, Matthew's last line is, "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." I am tempted to like Matthew's version better, but I can't remember any rough times that I've been through and then angels showed up. What Luke says is a little more real to me. The rough times come and go, and then they come back. "He departed from him for a time," says Luke. For Luke, the struggle with evil takes a while. And for sure, an angel comes to strengthen Jesus during his agony in the garden, but just one angel, and not to comfort, but to strengthen. Some years ago, I was living in a Jesuit community with an elderly Jesuit priest who had in his earlier years been a shining light in our province. And in his old age, he was a wisdom figure for everyone. Every day at Mass, during the prayers of the faithful, he would pray for perseverance. Well, one day after Mass, I suggested to him that his many years of faithful service would keep him in good stead with the Lord, and that surely he had persevered. Well, he just looked at me and he said, "Not yet." In Mark's gospel a lot, and the others as well, Jesus tells people he heals not to tell anybody, the so-called messianic secret. I think it's because he hadn't finished his life yet, his mission. He hadn't finished yet to be one with us in all things, in good times for sure, in rough times, in temptations, in suffering and death, and then to rise to a new life. Once that happens, then tell everybody. Tell everyone that Jesus' new life is promised to each one of us. Sometimes I think we pay more attention to Lent than to Easter. Lent is 40 days. Easter season is 50 days. Lent, after all, is a prompt for us to get ready for resurrection, not a season just unto itself. It doesn't make sense. Lent does not make sense without Easter, unless you like fixating on the rough times and how you don't measure up and what a mean person you sometimes are. Then, if you are fixated that way, then Lent might be something good. But with Easter, we know we are sinners but saved. In Jesus, we persevere. He comes to strengthen us, and in truth, sometimes to comfort us. I've been the priest at a few weddings when the preparation for the wedding ceremony was so frantic and all-consuming, I don't think the couple really enjoyed the ceremony, and I wonder how prepared they were for the marriage, which is what the preparation was for. Lent is for Easter. We prepare so that we can be fully present to the risen Lord. Attention has to be paid more to Jesus and less on ourselves. Maybe that's the project of Lent. In the early church, those preparing for baptism would read the scriptures that we now have as the daily readings in Lent. They were and still are a real catechism, a way to be a part of the history of salvation that leads to Jesus' resurrection. So if you can't get to daily Mass, why not read the daily scriptures at the start of the day or the end of the day? It doesn't take that long. Tomorrow's first reading, for example, is from Leviticus and is a version of the Ten Commandments. A great way to review how we live in harmony with one another. Don't steal or lie. Don't rob your neighbor. Don't spread slander. Don't stand idly by when your neighbor's life is at stake. Maybe giving up 5 minutes, that is to say, fast from whatever else you were going to do for those 5 minutes, and pray with the scriptures. Fasting and prayer and almsgiving are the three things we're called upon to do during Lent. Well, giving up a bit of time and reading the scriptures takes care of two of them. The 17th century English poet Robert Herrick, in his poem To Keep a True Lent, suggests what we ought to be doing for almsgiving and then has a pointed suggestion for what we ought to do in fasting. This is part of his poem. "'Tis a fast to dole thy sheaf of wheat and meat unto the hungry soul. It is a fast to fast from strife, from old debate and hate, to show a heart grief-rent, to starve thy sin." So at our Eucharist this morning, this first Sunday of Lent, let us pray that our Lent will help us to pay more attention to Jesus, to be strengthened in our struggles with evil, to ready ourselves for the resurrection, to persevere.